Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today on this beautiful day that God's given to us. Today is nice and warm and it's pretty, and I hope when you're watching this that it'll be the same way for you and that you're enjoying the day, but that you're not only having a beautiful physical day, but spiritually, emotionally, that you're having a great day as well, that you're enjoying fellowship with the Lord, that you are walking with Him, that you're seeing Him work and move in your life, that you're hearing from Him through His Word. And I hope that you look forward to these times as I do, where we can come together and to meet with our Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. But obviously, more than anyone, we thank our Lord for loving us enough to wanting to, for desiring to talk to us, wanting us to know Him, giving us this time, this opportunity to be together. And let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for the beautiful day that You have given to us. And Father, thank You most of all, O God, Lord, for the wonderful relationship that You called us to through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that a God such as You would want us to know You, to hear from You, Lord, to walk with You, to experience You, Lord, to know the reality of the true living God in our lives. Father, we thank You for Your Word that You have given. Father, Your Spirit that You have given to enable us to understand it. And Father, we seek You now, Lord. This is Your Word. Give us, Father, the understanding, the comprehension, Lord, the application. Father, may we not only understand Your Word in our mind, but in our hearts. And may we live it out, O God, in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we come before the Lord today, we're going to be in Psalm 81. And as we think about Psalm 81, we are reminded of how good our God is and how worthy of our praise He is. As we open God's Word to Psalm 81, a psalm of Asaph, we see the heartfelt joy and celebration, the call to worship that He gave for us here, and why God is so worthy of our praise. You think about what we read in verses 1 through 4. Sing for the joy to God our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Strike the timbrel, the sweet-sounding lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel and an ordinance of the God of Jacob. Obviously, he's calling for the God's people to worship the Lord in a wholehearted worship. We don't know for certain. This is probably has to do with the, in connection with the Feast of Tabernacles, when the Jews would remember how God had led them, guided them, provided for them, protected them through the wilderness and their experiences there, how God provided for them when they lived in tabernacles, booths, tents is more or less what we would call them. And so they once a year would live in those just to remember what God had in fact done. And so as we read through this psalm, he speaks of how Israel ought to joyously, wholeheartedly give thanks and praise unto the Lord. And that was certainly true for them, but it's also true for us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, how we ought to joyously praise the Lord. And as we look at the balance of the psalm, we not only see this wonderful call to praise and worship God, but we see the reasons why. And so look with me as we look at this psalm, and we're reminded why today we ought to wholeheartedly, joyously give thanks unto our Lord. We see, first of all, God's salvation. Think of what we read in verses 5 through 7. He established it for a testimony in Joseph. When he went throughout the land of Egypt, I heard a voice that I did not know. I relieved his shoulder of the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. You called in trouble, and I answered you. I answered you in the hiding place of thunder. I proved you at the waters of Meribah. Looking back at Israel's wonderful salvation and deliverance that God gave them from Egypt, from Pharaoh, from the slavery, really from the living death that they were under when they were there in the land of Egypt, and how God had in fact wonderfully delivered them. And yet as we think about that wonderful deliverance, it actually points to and pictures an even greater deliverance that's ours through Jesus Christ. And you think about the similarities. They were in Egypt. Egypt in the Old Testament frequently represents this world system. That is a world system that is in opposition against God, that ignores him. They were under the rulership of Pharaoh, a Satan, a type of Satan, a picture of Satan, if you will, who is in fact the ruler of this world system. They were in slavery. The Bible clearly teaches us that before Jesus Christ saves us from our sins, we are slaves to sin. Both the fact that we are, that it controls us, as well as the consequences of it. They were more or less had an existence of living death as slaves. We have an existence of living death. The Bible makes it clear that we're spiritually dead apart from Christ. We're headed to eternal judgment. That is the second death, the lake of fire. We have a living death apart from Jesus Christ. And yet God, in His wonderful grace and mercy, chose to save us, sent His Son to be the one who would carry our sins and our sinfulness upon the cross, pay the price in full, rise again, and how by His wonderful Spirit He's brought us to that salvation. What a wonderful reason to praise Him. If you know Christ, you think about what God has made possible. You think about what God has done. You think about what God has brought you through. How can you not praise Him? And if you're watching this and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen to the Savior's call today. He went to the cross for you. And everything that stands between you and a holy God was poured out upon Him. Everything that is necessary for you to be right with a holy God, He has in fact performed. He has died in your place. He has risen to give you eternal life, new life, if you will but trust Him, if you will but place your faith, your trust, your dependence, your reliance upon Him. But again, for we who know Him, what a wonderful reason to praise Him. We have His wonderful salvation. But as we continue looking at this psalm, we see God's provision. And again, remember the background we think for this psalm. That is the tabernacle feast, where they would remember how God had in fact provided for them throughout the wilderness wanderings. They saw God's provision in the wilderness. They also experienced that God promised them the wonderful land of Israel and how He wanted to bless them there, and how thankful for Him they should have been. Again, you think of verses 8 through 10. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you would listen to me, let there be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. You think about God's wonderful provision for them, how He provided everything for them. You think about what the Father has told us. You know, He told us to consider the birds of the air, how the Father feeds them. The lilies of the field, what we'd almost call weeds. By the way, Buster wanted to be a part of this today. The lilies of the field. How not even Solomon and all of his riches was clothed like them. How our God has in fact provided for our every need. How we ought to praise Him. God has in fact provided for us. He's worthy of our praise. But we keep reading this psalm and we find another reason to praise Him, one that we might not think about, one that we might want to gloss over and pass over, but that is in fact God's discipline. That might sound strange, but think of what we read in verses 11 through 12. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. God, obviously, He gave them over to what they wanted as a discipline, as a chastening. But why? Had He written them off? Was He done with them? No. God did that to get their attention, to bring them back. You think of what we read in verse 13. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. It was all designed to get them to return unto Him. It was all designed to get them to turn back from the sinful path that they were on and once more return to His love and to His loving care. And it's the same for us. Will God discipline us when we stray? Absolutely. But it's not because He doesn't love us. It's in fact a proof, an evidence, that He does love us. It is an evidence that He wants us to know Him, to return unto Him again. Yes, God disciplines us, but to get us to return unto Him. And so even when we have experienced the chastening of God, it's a reason to praise Him. Thank you, O God, so much because you loved me enough to make me your child. You love me enough that you don't write me off when I have sinned, but you in fact bring me back to yourself. What a wonderful reason to praise and to thank our Lord. But then lastly, we have God's restoration. What does God do after He has disciplined us and the discipline has had its effect? Well, you think of what we read in verses 14 through 16. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to Him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. What did God want to do? He wanted to bring them back to His blessing. What does God want to do when the discipline has had its effect on us? He wants to bless us again. I'm not denying that there aren't consequences of sin, that there aren't losses. But God will bring us back to a place of blessing where we can once more taste and experience His goodness. It may be that you've had that experience. You look back some time or period in your life when you strayed away from the Lord, God's hand was upon you, He dealt with you, and when He brought you back, even though there were consequences, He allowed you to yet once more experience His goodness and His grace. What a reason to praise Him. You may need it now. It may be that you have, in fact, wandered from the Lord. Understand God's love for you is the fact He wants to bring you back to Himself. He wants you to once more be in His blessing. What a reason to worship and to praise and to thank our Lord. No wonder Asaph wrote back in verses 1 through 4, sing for joy to God our strength, shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, strike the timbrel, the sweet sounding lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance for the God of Jacob. What a God we have. How much we have to thank Him for. How many reasons we have to wholeheartedly give thanks. Let's praise Him now. Father, we thank You for Your love. Oh God, Your grace, Your mercy. Father, for the deliverance that You give us in salvation. Father, the wonderful provision that You give us in our lives. Father, even Your chastening that's designed only to bring us back to You. And, oh God, the new blessing that You pour in our lives after we have returned. Father, You are such a good and wonderful God. Oh Lord, we praise and thank You for it. Father, may we walk with You and know You this day. In Jesus' name, amen.